Okay, world. We're starting today our new Perek Shmini, and we're holding on. Wait a minute, where are we holding? Did we get up to? Yeah. Richie did the thing. Yeah. Okay, great. So we're holding today on Daf Ayin Zayin. We're at the bottom of Ayin Vav Omud Beit, and we're starting Perek HaTodah HaTaba'ah. So we're trying to get a grasp over here of the different measurements and how they related back to the Torah's measurements. And in order to do that, we're going to have to cross some generations because there were actually changes, not only in the names of the various measurements, but also there was an inflation of the measurements so that they kept adding an additional 1/6, as we'll see. So atodaita ba chamesh sein Yerushalmiot shein sheish midbariot. Now the current at the time of the Mishnah of the Sa'ah was the Yerushalmi measurement of the Sa'ah, which had been actually a revalued so that that 5 Yerushalmi included 6 midbari, which means that there was an additional 1/6 mila bar. It's important to grasp this idea of the difference of mila gav and mila bar. We keep talking about an additional 1/6. Now, the fact is that when 6 become 5, and what happens is that these 5 now include the 6. What does that mean? It means that out of the total, there is an additional 1/6 that is included, which means that what you have is that the chamesh is actually larger by 1/5 of the chamesh, which is therefore going to be 1/6 of the total. So the internal measurement, they do this all the time in stores to confuse you, to figure out what percentage the sale is, you know. So is the sale percentage taken out of the total, which are the new price, or is it out of the old price? The same question is over here. So originally, what today is called 5 used to be 6 sa'a, which means that today's sa'a is 1/6 larger, or we could put it in other terms, 1/5 mi ligav, from inside. So what were the measurements at the time? So what you needed to bring the todah from was the equivalent of 2 ephot. Now, these 2 ephot were 6 sa'ah, because each ephah, as we're going to see, is actually 3 sa'ah. Now, we're talking entirely in terms of the midbar here. So the 2 sa'ah equals the 2 ephot equals each one being shalosh sa'in equals the total over here of 6 sa'ah. And what that means, these 2 ephot together have in them esrim isaron, because as we know, as the Torah says beferesh, is that you're supposed to bring the asirita efa, it says beferesh in the pasuk, and that is the name isaron, actually is the 1/10. So the asirita efa, being as we've got these 2 ephot, we've got 20 esronim. And that gives us, for the 4 types of chalot, the way that we split it is we don't split, as we're going to see from the pasuk, we don't split the 4 into the 20 to give us 5 for each type. Instead, we split it between the matzah and the chometz, which means that there's going to be 3 times the size of the chometz breads of the todah, because there was 1 part chometz to 3 different types of matzah. So that's basically going to give us a completely different measurement for the 2 different types. That leaves us asara lechametz. And if we've got 10 lechem, as we spoke about yesterday, so that gives us 1 isaron per challah. And remember that the isaron, that's basically what we bring our actual challah from, which was 43 eggs and 1/5 of an egg, to give you a sense of the size of an isaron. So we've got 10 isaronot, because we've got 10 of the chametz. But we also have, for the matzah, we have a total, even though we've got 30 matzahs, we've got asara la matzah, And the matzah had three different types of baking, remember? They were chalot, rikikin, and revucha. So these were the, as we said, the rikikin and the chalot. We understand the chalot are the thicker, the rikikin are thin. The revucha, as we spoke about, a little bit of a machlokes, whether that just means revucha in mayim, so that they're basically like bagel, boiled in water or scalded in water. And then, as the Rambam points out, as he did also in the Pirush HaMishnayos, where he explained that revucha means revucha in oil, that's because after we do that, the water part, the scalding, we fry it in oil. This is how the Rambam understands the nature of the revucha. But that means that there's very different processing, and it gives us 10 of each type, and we have to fit those 10 into a total, which is equal to 30. The 30 have to fit into a total of 10. And that means that we have 3 1/3 per different types, because we only have a total of 10 for the three different types. 10 is sronot, which means now if you split each one of the types into 10 matzot, so then you've got 1/10 of the 3 1/3, gives us shalosh chalot le'isaron. So that means each isaron will equal exactly 1/3. Three chalot, each chala will be 1/3 of the isaron. So if we've got 3 1/3, that gives us exactly 10 of each type. So now, how does that translate into Yerushalayim? Because the Mishnah had opened up with the difference between the number of sa'in that are included in the Yerushalayim system, and we didn't use, because of that, it would have been very, very complicated to translate all of the measurements into Yerushalayim, and we used instead the measurement of the kav, because it's easier for us to split. And a sa'a has 6 kav. So then that means, b'midah Yerushalmit, you could take these 5 sa'a, and they would equal the 30 sa'a, and that makes it easier, 30 kav. So the midah Yerushalmit, 5 sa'a, times the 6 equals 30. So we've got 30 kav in total. Split the 30 kav between the matzah and the chametz. Gives you 15 for the chametz. Well, that makes it easy, because we've got 15 to be divided by 3, and then we've got each one of those has to be, that's 5, and each one of those 5 has to turn into 10, so it's very, very simple numbers each time. That's why we're going to use the kav instead. So we've got 15 kav for chametz, 15 kav for matzah. So then that means that the 15 kav for the chametz gives us 1.5 kav, because we're dividing it by 10. And we've got the 15 for matzah, and since the matzah has chalot, rikikin, and revucha, so we've got 5 kav between these three types. The next 3 times 5 gives us the 15, and that means we need 10 chalot, so we've got 2 chalot per kav. So everything works out very, very straightforward. So you say that the Todah hayta ba'a 5 sa'in Yerushalmiot. Now that's taking for granted that we started giving the total in terms of the Midbar, and we said that in terms of the Midbar, we've got 2 ephod, and those are going to be the equivalent of the 3 sa'ah. How do we know that an epha is 3 sa'ah? Because we weren't using an epha anymore, and we're claiming that we know exactly what the size of the epha that the Torah keeps talking about, and that it was basically 3 of what is still used today. I'm going to say today, I'm saying contemporarily to the Mishnah. 3 of our modern sa'ot is going to be equal 1 of the Torah's sa'a. So we know that we have to have, as we're going to see, we know we have to have shtei efot. That we're going to learn out of the pasuk. I just need to know right now, what is the size of that epha in modern terms, where you're claiming that, even though I have never seen in a store an epha, you're claiming that 1 epha is precisely 3 of our contemporary sa'ot. Omer Chista, the Omer Kra, ha'epha v'habat tochen echad yiyeh. So look, we've got the pasuk in Yechezkel that speaks about his contemporary measurements. And at his time, there was no longer the ephah, but they started using a different name for the same volume, which was called the bat. Remember, a bat is a container. It holds. And that means that if we know that the bat is three sah, then we know that the ephah is three, because this is essentially, Yechezkel tries to give us a Rosetta Stone of the various values of different measurements, as we're going to see throughout the sugya today, different measurements in terms of the others, so that we should be able to translate the Torah sa'as and the Nevi'im sa'as, the contemporary sa'as. We'll therefore look to Yechezkel. So one of the first things that Yechezkel explains is that the ephah and the bat are the same. Now, they're not the same set of measurements, because an ephah is basically a midas hayovesh, and a bat is a midas halach, but they have precisely the same volume, says Yechezkel. And since we know that the bat is shalosh sa'im, so then that means that the ephah is shalosh sa'im. Well, wait a minute. How are you so sure that the bat is shalosh sa'im? I never saw anybody using a bat today, says the Gemara. We don't use the bat. So we might be just as confused as what the bat is, as what the sa'ah is. And you're telling me I'm going to bring a proof to what the sa'ah is from what the bat is? Now, I know what you're thinking, and I know what you expect me to believe, but it doesn't make any sense, because I'm assuming that since in the same pasuk it says, Laseit ma'aser hachomer bat. So we say you are supposed to accept one bat as a tenth of the chomer. So that would mean a chomer is also a liquid measure, and there's 10 bat in a chomer, and you're assuming that we know what the chomer is, right? That the chomer is 30 saw, and therefore you're saying that the bat, which is a tenth of the chomer, because we're supposed to be taking one bat as the miser of a chomer, that's 3, right? That's what I'm assuming, because otherwise I don't know why you think I know what a bat is. So you're saying, well, you do know what a bat is, because you know what a chomer is, and the very same pasuk tells me that a bat is 1/10 of a chomer, and accept that as miser. That's what you said. But the problem is that the same pasuk also says that asirit hachomer is an ephah. So if I know what the chomer is, why the heck do I need to go around in circles and say, well, Yechezkel says the ephah is a bat. And I know what a bat is because I know what a chomer is, but I know what an ephah is because if I know what a chomer is, I know what an ephah is. It says beferish. In the same way that it says ma'aser hachomer is a bat, it also says in the same pasuk, asirit hachomer ha'ephah. So that can't possibly be the mocker, which means I don't know what the chomer is. Because if I did, we wouldn't be discussing this in terms of bats, okay? So don't try to sweep it under the cover. We obviously do not know what the chomer is either, because we don't use the chomer. So now what? So we've got an ephah, a chomer, and a bat that we're all claiming are interrelated in our measurements with the sa'a, and that the bat is 3 sa'a, and that the chomer is 30 sa'a, and that the ephah is 3 sa'a, but if we don't know what the chomer is, how do we get that? So, hachanami, lo yadana kama, if I don't know what an ephah is because of the chomer, then I don't know what the bat is from the chomer. So, can we please start over again? You're telling me that I know what the bat is. How do I know what the bat is? Well, we have another pasuk, actually, in Yechezkel as well, and it says, v'chol kashemen. So now, how do we take off miser from shemen? Well, actually, the bat is what is used for measuring shemen. And ma'aser habat min hakor. Now, you should take one bat for one kor, which means that there will be 10 batim in a chomer, because a bat is a tenth of a chomer, as we said before. Okay, so now we're relating it to a kor. Now, a kor is a more modern measurement, and we still use the kor, and the kor actually equals 30 sa'. So if a bat is a tenth of a kor, it means that it holds 3 sa'. And since the pasuk before said that the ephah and the bat are equal, we now understand that an ephah is also 3 sa'. And that means that the chomer is basically the old name for the measurement of the modern kor. So now we know what a chomer is, and we know what a kor is, and we know what a bat is, and we know what an ephah is, and that gives us basically the relationship to the modern self. So now, let me talk about the other thing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that what we do is we try to translate the six units in the Midbar are translated into five units in the more modern Yerushalayim measurement, right? So then that means we changed the units. Now, that means, says Shmuel, that when we said that we've got 1/6 extra, that's just not an accident that it was 1/6. It's because we're not allowed to change measurements by increasing the new measurement by more than 1/6. And this means 1/6 of the total measurement is the maximum that you're allowed to have as the increase, which is 1/5 of the original measurement. Add the 1/5 to the 5 bits that were there, and now that 1/5 becomes 1/6, right? Obviously. So, ein mosifin al hamidot yoter mishtut. So you cannot have, out of the total, you cannot have more than 1/6 of that total being the new measurement. That's what I claim. This is in terms of the midot. But it's also true that if you're changing the values of coins, which you often have to do because of inflationary pressures and things like that, so you cannot make a coin, the new coin, worth more by having a greater weight in the coin by more than 1/6 of the total weight being the new added weight. And this relates, and we'll see why it relates in a moment, to the fact that profit, after taking into consideration all of your costs, if you're buying and selling, you are not to make more than 1/6 profit, and that way we have some lid on inflation. So we limit the amount that you're able to put the prices up, and that limits monopolies going after more money, and because of that, we actually, as we learned when we were doing the Zekin, we actually have people going around and making sure that we don't have these monopolies trying to take money from people that they shouldn't be taking. So all of these things are, as we'll see, interrelated, because what we thought initially is that the idea of the six that Shmuel is talking about is because of inflationary pressure. Meaning, my time, where did Shmuel get the idea that we're not supposed to increase a measurement sat? So, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that because of it, what's going to happen? You're obviously going to be charging more for the measure, right? Okay, so now this is what the candy bar companies did, if you recall. It used to be you bought a nice Hershey bar for 5 cents, right? Then they made a supersized Hershey bar, which was only 1.3 times the size of the regular Hershey bar, but suddenly it cost 10 cents. So what that did is actually it raised the price of chocolate, because the merchandising always uses the excuse of having a bigger size for actually increasing the per unit price, which leads to inflation. So if you're going to tell me that the reason that I can't add is because it's going to create inflation, so then it doesn't make sense, because anything, let me tell you something, all you need to do is put on the wrapper new giant-sized or family-sized or whatever it is. It doesn't matter how much you've added. You might have added only 1%, you know, but that already gives them excuses to raise the prices per unit. And therefore, why did we say 1/6? It shouldn't be at all, no? If we're worried about inflation, then we shouldn't be changing these sizes, because we know very well the little game, and it's not only a modern game, it's a game that every merchant will take advantage of. So that can't be the reason. The only thing that I can think of that interrelates the shtus is the fact of ona'a. Ah, so now that relates to the last point of Shmuel, to the first 2 points of Shmuel, because the idea of ona'a, remember, is fraud in buying and selling. And there we have the halacha that if it's precisely a 1/6 difference, you can get your money back in court, but you can't simply cancel a sale because you, either buyer or seller, have been cheated. So that 1/6, aha, now that makes sense. because then there would be a perfectly good reason for not changing things by more than a sixth. Because if you did, so for the first few months where you've got people confused between the new and the old measurements or coinage, you're going to have a flurry of lawsuits that are attempting to cancel sales, which is going to cause absolute chaos in the market. Because, I mean, my God, if you're going to cancel the sales, it's going to go all the way back to God knows how long ago, till the beginning of the change, and it's going to create a mess. So we don't want to allow a cancellation of sales. If you want to get the extra money back, that's fair. Go ahead and get your money back. But we need to have the precise 1/6, because that allows you to get your money back. But the moment that you go above 1/6, then if there was a mistake in the sale, you can cancel, and that would be chaotic. So it must be mishum ona'a ki hechad lo lavi bito mekach. So the problem over here is the dinim of ona'a, which is the dinim of fraud. And because 1/6, it fits perfectly, 1/6 in the dinim of ona'a is the absolutely critical tipping point. Because if you go beyond 1/6, you're going to get into this chaos in the market. So Shmuel is saying, stick always to 1/6, so that therefore the most that will happen is people will make a mistake and then they can go and get their money back or get the extra money that they're owed, right? But we don't want to create chaos, so we don't want to void sales. But the problem is that, as we know, we've seen this before, that as Rava pointed out, the din of ona'ah is only a din in taking more profit than something is worth. Now, worth is not precisely measurable, obviously. So it means that we take a certain standard market price, which is called the tira. So the tira we actually put up on a slate, so people know what the price is of various things when they go to the market. We didn't have the advanced kind of laser detector readers and so on. But we did have a slate that old-fashioned things called eyes and retinas were able to pick up, and that gave us a price. So now the...
In Machane Yehuda today.
Yeah, that's true. We still have slates. So the thing is, says Rava, the only din of onah and fraud relates to value. It doesn't relate to things that are precise. It doesn't relate to measurement. If you sell someone a gallon of something and it's the slightest bit less than a gallon, he can just say he's been defrauded and give you back the gallon. Get out of here. I don't want to deal with you. And vice versa. If you actually gave him too much, so you could tell him, sorry, sir, this was a mistake. So anything that has to do with weight, measures, or whether you're talking about the number of items, I mean, that's not ona'a. That's like just straight out fraud. So then afil pachot michte ona'a chozer. That's a very important ruling to understand the whole concept of ona'a. So if the problem over here is the actual weight or measurement or coinage, which is another function of weight, so then 1/6 has no meaning, because 1/6 was only critical in terms of evaluations, and you would still create chaos in the marketplace. So then you wouldn't be allowed to make any change at all. So then if this is the problem, how did we allow even 1/6? So what is the basis? If the basis isn't ona'a and the basis isn't the inflation, what is it? Maybe you'll try to tell me that, well, it relates to the profit taken. Oh, now that's starting to make sense. If we're going to make a mistake, and the maximum, we're saying that you're allowed to take a profit of 1/6, right? So then that means that if a storekeeper, he stuck to the rules, and he was making a 1/6 profit, but he made a mistake because of the new measure, the new coin, at least he wouldn't lose any money. Because that extra 1/6 that he ended up making the mistake of accepting the old nickel as the new nickel, or whatever mistake he made, he is at least not going to lose anything, because anyway he was making 1/6 profit. So the 1/6 error that was made protects a merchandiser, right? So this way he's not going to get any kind of losses. The Diana over here seems to be a mistake. The Dalit was changed for a Zion, as you take a look in Rashi. And this is Rashi, the real Rashi, the Rashi Miksavyad. She doesn't have this word Dayana, but Zayana, which is losses. So therefore, the three in Yonim of Shmuel interrelate to each other very beautifully. Since the prophet is 1/6, therefore the changes that could take away your profit if you make a mistake is the same value, and that way you're not going to get any kind of loss. But, I mean, that doesn't really make much sense. What do you mean? If we're looking to protect a merchant, all we're looking to do is protect him from loss? So Zayana with the Lolim Taye, we need to protect him from loss. You're telling me the guy doesn't need to make any money? Revarcha lo boy? I mean, this is an old saying, which is unfortunately very true. It turns out that many businesses are doing a lot of buying and selling, but they're not making a dime. And you call that Zivan Vizabain, buying and selling Tagara Ikre? That's what makes you a businessman? No. There's lots of people out there that like to pretend they're in business, but then when they get to the end of the year and they take a look at whether they made any money, they didn't make any money. And so they may have felt very good running off to the office and saying, see you later, dearie, and coming back after a long, hard day of work, but they didn't make any money. So if that's the point, then he's not called a businessman. It's a beautiful phrase for a Gavi. So Zavan Vizabain Tagara Ikre, you call somebody who buys and sells. Yeah, the guy says, yeah, I'm in business. What do you do? I buy and sell. But you don't make money. Elam Rav Chisda. Actually, Shmuel is not logical. When Shmuel came up with this idea of a sixth, he learned out of a pasuk, and he learned it again out of a pasuk in our Yechezkel, which is there, as Yechezkel goes out of his way, as I said, to provide us a kind of Rosetta Stone of interrelating the various Midais, Mishkalais, and sets of things across the generations, from the Torah into his time. So we have another really strange pasuk, which we learn a lot of things out of. And we're going to learn something simple out of it today, which is Shmuel's limud. And the shekel, it says in the pasuk, the shekel is esrim geira. And then it just says, esrim shkalim, chamisha v'esrim shkalim, asara v'chamisha shekel emena, hamona yelacha. So now we're claiming that if you add up, first I'm telling you what a shekel is, 20 geira. Okay. Now, you have to know that if you put together 20 shekel and 25 shekel and 10 and 5 shekel, which we're going to use this pasuk for telling me all types of other curious things, but first let's put this number together, which equals 60. 60 shekel is a mana for you from now on. Now, Shmuel is understanding Yechezkel, as it's clear from the pasuk, that Yechezkel was talking about the interrelationship of the coins that were going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, which is what he was referring to the Shekel Shel Kodesh over here. And therefore, what he's saying is that the mana, which is used for Kodesh, and that's what was used in the Torah when we did the Binyan HaMishkan and so on, that mana is everything that you just added up, which is 60 shekel. Now, the word mana actually means 100, right? 100. 100 what? 100 dinar. 100 dinar, here is the pasuk is claiming that 240 dinars, because it says 60 shekelim is a mana, and every shekel is for dinner. That's like the most basic measurement that's in use contemporarily. So how the heck does it say in this pasuk that 240 dinar equals a mana when a mana is 100 dinar and 100 dinar is 25 shekel? How did 25 shekel turn into 60 shekel? So what's going on? Therefore, says Shmuel, what's happening over here is that you see from this pasuk three important points. First of all, something that we know already from the Torah, from the measurements of Yisrael and the building of the Mishkan. And that is that the mana shel kodesh was double what the regular mana is in the marketplace. So this was true at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which is how the shkolim in the midbar that were given, the machtes ha-shekel that were given, equal to 600,000 plus. And clearly, as Rashi points out there, since we've got the 1776 left over, right, 75 left over, so that gives us clearly a indication that we couldn't have included that in an additional mana, and therefore we had to go ahead and give you the details, which means that it must have been that we needed 3,000 and not 1,500. Okay, so Shema Amino, Mana Shel Kodesh was kaful. That's number one. Okay, so let's double it. Still, even if we double it, we still only get 200. Because instead of the normal 100 a mana, you're telling me 240. Okay, so if I understand that it was double the size, so I understand why it's 200, but where the heck did 200 turn into 240? That I don't understand. Ah, what that means is that they revalued the coin. By how much did they revalue the weight of that coin? Well, they revalued it by adding 40 new units to 200 original units. So that is exactly 1/6. The 6 times 4 equals 24, the 240. So then that means 1/5 of the original, which was out of the 200, we would have gotten the additional 40. That gives us, because 5 times 40 is 200, so if that's the case, it means that 1/6 of the total, which was 1/5 of the original, is what you could add. So Shema Amino Mosifino Amidot, but the reason that Yecheskel is making a fuss out of it is to tell us that this, in fact, is the maximum that you can increase it. So that means that the Mana Shel Kodesh was increased from 200 to 240, meaning from 50 shkalim, which would be 4 dinar per shekel, is 200 to 60 shkalim. And that's precisely why it speaks it out as being 60 shkalim. And the third thing that we learn is that if we're talking about a measurement of a sixth, it's quite clear that we mean a sixth of the new total, which is 1/5 of the original, v'shmamina shtuta milabar, that we look to the sixth from outside and not from inside, meaning it's what's there for the new ones. According to this, it's telling us the idea of 1/6 binogea, the coinage. Okay, so again, it doesn't say, Beferish, that you can't do more, but Shmuel is saying that since he's making a fuss out of it, and we're making the whole mocker of the right to make changes from Yecheskel, so the right to make changes is apparently limited in this way because we don't have any mocker to it. So now, question is, does this have anything to do with the discussion that we said before? Because before we made sense out of Shmuel by saying that the relationship to profit-taking is not just thrown in there because it also happens to be a sixth, but because it's actually nogea, right? So now we're throwing that out, and it's not nogea at all, and now we're saying Shmuel was just like basing it on the pasuk in Yecheskel, and that's it. So there's actually a different approach than Rashi's approach, which is the way in Bava Basra it comes out, that some of the Rishonim, including the Rashbam, who is the main Mefarish, and takes the place of Rashi there. So the Rashbam explains, no, the idea over here that Shmuel understands that you can't take more is because Shmuel understood the reasoning of what Yecheskel was saying, that you mustn't do something that's going to affect a loss in merchandising. So we said before, what do you mean a loss? And you don't have to make money, but it's not the same thing. You see that Yecheskel is saying, at least we want to prevent a loss. So don't come back and tell me, well, what do you mean? He's got to make money. That's not my concern. So if I'm trying to make sense of Yecheskel, so then Yecheskel is saying, this is the maximum. Then it makes sense. I'm telling you, this is what they did. Now you use your brain. Why is this what they did? Because otherwise you would have been affecting your actual losses for them. And that we don't want to do, which is very reasonable. That now links all of Shmuel's Ma'amarim, and it means that what we said in the circuit before is actually makes a great deal of sense. The problem with it is that over here, Rav Chisda said, Ella, And he shouldn't have said Ella, because Ella means we're starting over again with a brand new approach. As this would be, just Rav Chisda could have said Shmuel Kroashka for Dorash, and that way he applied it to the previous thing. So that's why Rashi over here doesn't want to say that type of pshat that we said in Baba Bas. Omer Avina, the truth is that if you take a look at our Mishnah, it's clear that the Mishnah is taking this for granted too, because why do you think the Mishnah speaks out? Do we really need to understand the relationship of our measurements to the Midbar? But the point is, we're bringing it out over here to teach us that that is what is mutter. So you could do this. You could turn the new coin, the five, you could revalue by increasing the weight of the coin by 1/6. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is. Shema Amina, from the Mishnah, the same idea. Which brings us to a very important moment in history, in which our esteemed, yes, indeed. Richie?
Richie, I have to say, it would be more impressive if you didn't need to support your head while you were saying it.
Yeah, you know what? What this contains might help you. Maybe I should send you a tube of this stuff. You take it every time before you announce a Mishnah, and then you see Akiva's behind me. Yes, indeed, huh? Well, we've got to have it imported from South Africa. That's the problem. Nah, it's much better than that stuff.
That's I'm just drinking tea.
Chock full of vitamins morning. And minerals.
Aye.
How about trying that again?
You ready? Okay.
I'm getting
Command performance.
Yes, indeed. You see how effective it is? Just looking at
just
it.
Just looking at it, yeah, exactly.
All right, so here's looking at you. Mikulam hayanotel echad mi'asara truma. Now, how much of the Lachmei Toida was given to the Kohen? Well, each type of the four types that we had were given 1/10 of Truma. Now, obviously, the 1/10 of the Chametz was three times as large because we had three times as much of the flour that was used for the Chametz type because we split it between the 10 and the 30 of the matzah. But we still would take one unit. So since it says in the Pasuk, V'ikriv mimen, echad mikol korban, one from each type of korban that we have over here is given as a truma la'ashem, which was then given to the Kohen. So after we did the shechita of the Torah, as we said before, that's what gives kedusha to the lechem, and that means that the Kohen gets one as a truma from each one. How do we know this? We said before it has to be a whole one because it uses the word echad. And echad means an actual whole challah. That's the reason that we had the problem before with Shmuel's Maimer, because if you bake it all into one, you won't be able to give the Kohen a whole loaf. That's why we had to come out before, remember, yesterday, that we would have to separate it out of the dough, because otherwise we'd be cutting it, and that would be porus. And echad means shelo yito porus. And when it says mikol korban, it means literally you can't take two of one to make up for one that you didn't give of another. You have to give from everyone the same number of pieces. And that means the kol korbanot have to be shavot. Shelo yito mikorban al chaver. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean they're the same size, because they're not the same size. The matzah is only 1/3 the size, the three types of matzah, of the chametz. But you can't take two of any one kind to make up for leaving one behind of another. And who is it given to? La kohen azoreket dam hashlamim lo yiyeh. So it has to be given to a kohen who is able to do the avodah of the shlamim. And the rest of it is ne'echal by anybody. So the truma has a dinner truma, can only be eaten by kohanim, and of course by the whole family of the kohen, and it is Kodshim Kalim, anywhere in Yerushalayim, but the rest is Kodshim Kalim, like the Basar V'Shlamim can be eaten by the owner, even if he's not a Kohen, anywhere in Yerushalayim. The Lechem also can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Tana Rabbanan. When it says V'ikriv Mimenu, so instead of simply saying V'ikriv Echad, when it says Mimenu, it means selected from, but selected from means that you have to take the nicest, right? Or the most connect, something that is connected to something else. In this case, the Mimenu means from something that is connected to the rest of it. But if it's all separated, you're not taking it Mimenu, are you? So Ikriv Mimenu means something that is Mechuber at the time. That means you have to put everything into one Kli, and then you take it out of that Kli. But if it's just sitting around separate, it's not taking from it. That's when we take the challah, we do the same thing. We make sure that we have it all in the same kli to be mechaberet. When it says echad, it's shelo ito porus. When it says mikol korban, it means you call our korbanot shavot, like we said in the Mishnah, shelo ito mi korban al chaveiro. And now then it says the truma l'Hashem, in yodea mikama. But it doesn't say how many there were in the first place. It just says, take one. Here we're finally getting to the question of what it is that we've taken for granted all along, namely that there are 10 of each type. That didn't say that in the Pasuk, the Farish, even though we said before that it says Behedya, and that's how we know the Truma of, that's how we know the Toda is 10. As I said yesterday, Behedya doesn't really mean Beferush, it means clearly. So this is why it's clearly, because we use the word Truma that is being taken from each one. If the truma isn't identified, so how much would it mean? Well, if I'm taking one loaf as a truma, and any idea, mi kama hi, I don't know what that one loaf was taken out of, well, it stands to reason. Harini dan uses the word truma in terms of lachmei teda. And the Torah uses the same word truma when it comes to trumat ma'aser. So it says you take ma'aser min ha-ma'aser truma. So that means a tenth of what there is what we call truma if we don't give you any further information. So just like over there, the truma is one-tenth, as it says beferish in the pasuk. So here too, it must mean one-tenth. That must mean that there's 10 of each one of those chalos, and one-tenth of them is taken out to be the truma. Well, now wait a minute, that's not totally persuasive, because, I mean, it does use the word truma in other places. Maybe we should look at it this way. It says the word truma by lachmei teda, and it says the word truma when it comes to the bikurim. The bikurim are called trumat yadecha. So then, if that's the point, then just like there's no particular shear of the truma of bikurim, I mean, whatever you brought is bikurim. It doesn't, it's not a particular amount of bikurim that you're supposed to take from your sada, like 1/50th, 1/10th, whatever you bring, the first fruits. That's what you bring, no matter how large your sada is. So then if that's the case, afkan ein la shiur, we see that we use the word truma as a gift, and not necessarily as a particular amount that is taken from something. So maybe that's true over here. Maybe there doesn't have to be a certain number of lachmei teda, but you just have to make sure that a kohen gets a bread. Well, okay, you're suggesting that instead of learning it from Trumas Maaser, we should learn it out from Bikuri, which is also called Trumat Yadecha. So this gives us an opportunity, again, to do one of our Nir Lamidometrics, and that way we can clarify to ourselves what the various dinim are. So Nir Lamidom. I would say that we should take a case of a truma that has no follow-up. There's no other truma, and that should be learned from a truma, She'ein Acharei Truma. Now, when it comes to Bikurim, Bikurim are not going to potter you from truma, from your crops, obviously. You're taking off Bikurim, that's your carbon that's brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when the whole crop becomes ripe and you process it, you're going to have to give it to the Kohen as an additional truma. So there's two uses of the concept of truma. Truma, there's the truma in which this is what you're supposed to give. And then there's truma of give a gift, but it's not going to necessarily help you when it comes to what you're allowed to take for yourself. Those are two different types of trumas. Now, in this case, the lach meteda, that's what you give. Once you give that, it's matter the rest of it for the Yisrael, exactly like the truma of trumat maaser. Masha Inkain, if you're going to compare it to Bikurim, it's very different because Bikurim aren't meant to potter anything else. You're still going to have to take off Truma after you take Bikurim. So which one does it make sense to compare it to? Obviously, the Truma of Lach Metoda is similar to the Trumat Maaser, which potters the Maaser to the Levi. Or we could actually look at it differently. Okalech l'derech zo. We should learn out a Truma that forces you to eat it in a makom kadosh, like the truma of lach meteda, from a truma that has to be eaten in a makom kadosh, like bikurim. So both of those can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Why would we compare it to trumat maaser, which has no din of kedusha in where it's supposed to be eaten? Wherever it is you're taking trumat maaser, you take off the trumat maaser, and it's nechelet b'chol makom. So you cannot take for granted that we're meant to compare it to the lach meteda to the trumas maaser, because in certain ways it's more similar to bikurim, and in certain ways it's more similar to trumat maaser. So let's see if we can find a different basis, because it's not simply logical. Let's take a look at the lashon of the pasuk. Talmud Omar, the Torah uses the word mimenu truma l'Hashem. And by trumat maaser, it also says mimenu truma. And that was the mimenu that we were actually medayek before, what that mimenu implies. So there it says, ve'alavim tidaber v'yamart alayhem tikki tikhu mi'et b'nei Yisrael. Et ha-maaser asher natati lechem mi'itam, etc., etc., v'harei motam mimenu trumat Hashem. So since it's not just, it's exactly the lashon of Gzeirah Shavah. Mimenu truma here, mimenu truma by trumas maaser, as Gzeirah Shavah, which teaches us, just like trumat maaser, is 1 out of 10, the truma to the kohen is 1 out of 10. So lamanu l'truma she'achad mi'asara. But I still don't know how much flour or how much solet you're supposed to be putting in to each one of these chalot. Didn't say that anywhere, did it? Well, I can work it out, because the Torah uses the word lechem when we're talking about the chometz of the lach meteda, al chalot lechem chametz, yakriv korbano. So we have over here a definition of something which is called lechem. And it says the same word lechem by another korban, namely, b'shtei halechem. V'nemar lahalan, b'shtei halechem, lechem. That's the mimoshvotechem tavil lechem tenufa shtayim, shnei ezronim, solatiyena. Now, there's two lechems in the shtei chalot of the shtei halechem, and it's a total of shnei esronim, which gives us an isaron per lechem type. So, afkan, isaron lelechem. So, that's how we know how much is supposed to be in the chalas lechem chametz. Well, there's other ways to learn it, no? Maybe we should learn it from the lechem aponim. Lechem aponim was double that, remember? It says beferish, shnei esronim. So perhaps, kalach l'derach zo, ne'amar kan lechem, by the lechem chometz of the lach meteda. And by the lechem aponim, true, it's matzah, but it says lechem there, and it says beferish in the pasuk, shnei esronim yiyeh hachala hachat. And it calls that lechem, v'natata ala shulchan lechem ponim. So that means if I'm using the word lechem, it should be shnei esronim per lechem. Afkan shnei esronim. Well, again, we've got an excuse for a lovely nira lemi domeh. So it's more reasonable, I think, that we should learn mincha of chometz that I'm bringing together with a shlomi. So it's not coming for itself. Now, the Lachmi Teda of Chametz is brought only with the Shlami, with the Teda. Let's compare that to the type of Mincha that is brought together with a Zevach. What's the other type of Minchas Chametz that's brought with a Zevach? The Shtei HaLechem, where we have to bring it together with a Shlamim. Albeit it's a Shlamim, which is a Shlamim of a Tzibor, Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor, and Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor are unique, but nonetheless, we've got Shlamim and Lechem, and Chametz and Lechem, and Chametz and Lechem. It's great. So, what, you're going to look to the Lechem HaPanim? The Lechem HaPanim isn't brought together with a Zevach, and the Lechem HaPanim isn't brought Chametz, it's Matzah. So therefore, why would I compare it to the Lechem HaPanim? Al Yochiach Lechem HaPanim She'eno Ba Chametz Im HaZevach. Well, now let's think about it in a different way. O Kalach L'Derech Zo. Maybe we should say that it's more similar, actually, from to compare it to what you're claiming is Al Yochiach, I say actually Kein Yochiach, the Lechem HaPanim. Why? Because, look, there's many ways in which it's more similar. It makes sense, doesn't it, to be done a mincha that has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael. But these things don't have to be brought from Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we should, instead of looking to the Shtei HaLechem, which must be brought dafka from Eretz Yisrael, I mean, this doesn't, Lachmi Toda don't have to be brought dafka from Eretz Yisrael. And another thing is that the Lachmi Toda, do they have to be brought from new grain? Of course not. You can't bring them from new grain. So, I mean, unless you already brought the heter for the new grain. So they could be either Chodash or Yashan Mashenken here. If you're talking about the Shtei HaLechem, and the Shtei HaLechem has to be from new grain and can only be from Eretz Yisrael. So it makes more sense to compare them to the Lechem HaPanim, because the Lechem HaPanim can be brought either from Eretz Chutz Laretz, and they can be brought either from this year's crop to the last year's crop. Why would I look to the Shtei HaLechem, which has the unique dinim of needing to be brought from Eretz Yisrael and needing to be brought dafka from the new grain? So, again, it breaks down if we cannot find a pasuk, because there's logical reasons to compare the Lachmi Teda to the Shtei HaLechem, and there's logical reasons to compare the Lachmi Teda to the Lechem HaPanim. So we're going to need some guidance from the Torah. And as we learned in Malachi's closing words, if you have no more Nevi'im to ask, Zichru Teras Meishavdi. So all we need to do, if you got nowhere else to look, maybe it's time to learn some Torah. Talmud Lomar, Mimoshvotechem Taviu Lechem Tenufa Shtayim. What's Taviu mean? Of course Taviu, that's how you started. Why are you saying again? And the place is Mimoshvotechem, that's where you should be Taviu. You started off with Taviu. So she'ein tamad lomar taviu, it said beferish in the pasuk that v'ikravta mincha chadasha la'ashem. All it needs to say is v'ikravta mincha chadasha la'ashem mimoshvotechem. Obviously, I mean, if I say that hikravtem, I mean taviu. So ma tamad lomar taviu, that tells me there's something else that you might be bringing. She'kol ma shata mevi mimokom acher hareyu kazeh. Other types of korbanos like this, what would that be? The Lachmei Teda should be similar to the model that I'm giving you now. And what is that model? Mimoshvotechem, one yisaron per chala. The shtei chalot of the shtei alechem are made of tresronot. So in this case, it's one yisaron the chala for the chametz teda. Now, maybe you'll tell me, now wait a minute, maybe it's referring to the total. The total is Shnei Esronot, it says over there. So maybe over here it has to be Shnei Esronot, because the Torah specifies the Shnei Esronot. Maybe we're meant to look at the total and not what it is per lechem. That's why it says, by the Shtei HaLechem, Solet Tihiena. That means that Tihiena, each one of these, are, as we're about to see, that it means each one of them has a yud. Lamadnu asara l'chametz. That teaches us that we've got 10, but we've only learned about the chometz because we're comparing it to the shtei alechem of the chometz. And anything that's like this is like this. But how do we know that the three different types of matzah were also asara? That's why it says al chalot lechem chametz. That means juxtapose the lechem chametz to the matzah. And neged chametz have matzah. Actually, it should be equivalent. So the amount that you're bringing for the chametz, bring also the same amount of matzah. And then it specifies three different types of korbanas, which means we've got a total of esrim esronot lachmei todah. We know that we need asra l'chametz, and it is proportionately the same, which means we're going to have to split it, and therefore it's 10 for chametz, 10 for matzah. And now if you say, okay, so it should be all for one matzah, which would give us the same size? No, because the Torah says we're finished. Imal todah yakrivena v'yikriv al zevach hatorah chalot matzot. Look at this, three different types. We have the chalot matzot, belulot b'shemen, rikike matzot, mishuchim b'shemen, and solet murbechet. So then it's telling us three different types of matzah. And then when it says that it should be the same, it means that the total should be the same. And that means that we've got to split it, the 10 esronot, we've got to split it three ways between these three different types, which gives us only 3 1/3 for each type, which would equal 10 when we multiply it by 3. And since there were 10 of each kind, and we've got 3 1/3, well, 3 1/3, guess how many thirds there are in a 3 1/3, huh? Well, there's exactly 10. How do you like that? So we've got 3/3 plus an additional thirds, that equals 9 plus 1, which equals 10. And that means that every single one of those chalos lecha, the chalos of the different types, were precisely a 1/3 of an isaron, which now in total, nimtza'u, lach metoda is a total between the chometz and matzah, a total of 40 lechem. You take 4 out of those 40. Now, obviously, one of them is much bigger because it's the chometz one. Notamem arba, noten la kohen, v'ashar nechalim lebalim. And the rest of it goes to the owner, just like the shlamim itself goes to the owner. What we ended up doing is we learned out from the shtei halechem how much you're supposed to use for each one of the chalos of the teta. So since we had shtei halechem and the Torah told us to use shnei esronot total, that meant one isaron per lechem, which is basically the standard mincha size, and that brought us to understanding that the shtei halechem was one isaron. So the Gemara asked yesterday, this is like a review, but let's start from Imala Halan Shnei Esronim, which will actually get us right into today's sugya. So if you're going to ask me that perhaps the Shnei Esronim that was said by the Shtei Halechem was meant to apply to every single one of the Chalas, and it should be the total of Shnei Esronim applied to Afkan Shnei Esronot, so we should use, here maybe the total should be the same as the total, and that would mean that we should use a total of Shnei Esronim for all of the 10, which would be Shnei Esronim. Why do you say that we should do it per lechem, per challah? Maybe what we should do is take the same amount of solat that was usable in the Shnei Lechem should be usable in the challahs. Talmud lomar tihiyena. So somehow or other, the Gemara sees the word tihiyena as being merames, that each one of the chalos should be an isaron. Now, today, in today's staff, we're going to see, I should say tomorrow, in tomorrow's staff, we're going to see what the meaning is of that limud, because how in the world does tihiyena mean 10? But it'll end up learning it out from the yuds. So the tihiyena, the double yud, ends up telling me that this is for each of the 10 chalos. But we'll talk about that later. So fine. So that was all comparing the inyanim of the chametz, lamadnu asara l'chametz, how do we know asara l'matzah minayin? So remember that we learned out, I know that this is all review, but we need to have this in mind in the sugya as we go along. So we know that there were 10 esronot used for chametz because that was the actually the basis of our comparison to the Shtei HaLechem of Chometz, but how do we know that the same thing is true of the 30 challos for the matzah? Asara l'matzah minayin, talmud lomar al challot lechem chametz. So basically, the Torah is now comparing the two, and that means that whatever was there in the chametz, neged ha-chametz, and the matzah, and it's juxtaposing the chametz and the matzah. So we've got a total of esrim esronot for all 40 chalot. 10 of those esrim go to the chametz, and 10 of those go to the matzah. And you might think that the asara l'matzah would all be the same as the chometz, one particular type of lechem. No, Talmud Lomar, im al todah yakrivenu, v'ikriv al zevach atodah chalot matzot b'lul b'shemen, rikiki matzot b'shuchin b'shemen, and solet murbechet. So that means out of those 10, we're going to have to bring 3 different types of chalos for the Torah. So we've got 3 different types of matzah, and it all together, they're compared to the chometz. That gives us 3 1/3 for each one. 3 times 3 1/3 equals the 10, which turns out that we've got basically shalosh chalot le'isaron. Each one of them has 3 different chalot per isaron, which means we've got all 3 of them with each particular challah, therefore would contain 1/3 of an isaron, and since we have 10/3 altogether over here, so therefore we would now have each one of them with a 3rd isaron times 10. Nimtzulach betoda arba'im. So the bottom line is we've got 40 in total. 4 of those are given to the kohen. One of them is larger, obviously. The one which is made out of matzah is 3 times the size of the one that's made out of the ones that are made out of the chametz. And the shar ne'echalim leba'alim. Now, in the course of the braita that we learned, you brought the pasuk that says v'ikriv mimenu. So that lashon of v'ikriv mimenu means that they all have to be mechubar. They all have to be by putting all of the lechem into one container. Then I can take out for the truma echad from each type. But if you're going to tell me that wherever the Torah says mimenu, it means that it's supposed to be connected. So how about by the Korban Chatas? It also says that kol chelbo yorim mimenu. So what does that mean? My mechubar. Don't we take out separate out the basar from the chelev, and we're already butchering the basar before we bring the emurim. So in what sense are they mechubar? Well, actually, it's to tell me that that's not the way we do it. And it's kedrav chista amar avimi. The Omer of Chista Omer Avimi, that mimenu that it says by Chatas, tells me essentially the same thing that the mimenu tells me by the Trumas of Lach Veteira. Namely, it's got to be still connected, which means do not take apart, don't butcher the animal before you take out the Emurim. And the Basar and the Emurim have to be connected because you need to take the Emurim mimenu. So indeed, it's very consistent. Now, I want to just get back to another thing you said in the Braita. Huh? And you said that it says truma binogeya the lach betayda, and it says truma by truma's maaser, and that's the way that we know that the meaning of the truma is 1 out of 10, and that teaches us that we need to have the 10 challahs. Okay, I understand if you're going to learn it out of truma at maaser, but there's other places where it says truma. I mean, how about why don't we learn it out from the truma of Midian, right? So it says over there, after Klal Yisrael went into war with Midian, you're supposed to count it, and it says, Hare Mota Meches LaHashem, you're supposed to give over there, 1 out of 500 is supposed to be a truma from what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you in victory from the Midianim. And it says over there, give it as Trumat Hashem to Elazar HaKohen. At that time, Elazar was already the Kohen Gadol. So why are you comparing the Truma LaHashem to tell me that it's 1 out of 10? Maybe actually the Truma LaHashem, that's Mimenu Truma LaHashem, that is said by the Lach Beteira, is to be learned out from the truma that's taken from Echad Mi'eser, which is Ma'aser Min HaMa'aser, Truma LaHashem. Maybe it's truma from 500. So you should need 500 Lachmei Teda, and out of the 500 Lachmei Teda, you give one to the Kohen. So how do you know to compare it to Trumas Ma'aser? Because Danin Truma Anoheget Dorot, Mitruma Anoheget Dorot, Ve'al Tochiach Truma Midyan Sheno Anoheget Dorot. Generally, remember, we always compare standardized, normative situations. We're normative situations. The Milchemes Midyan was a once-in-history situation, and it was the first Milchama where we had the Pinchas HaKohen as the Meshuach Milchama and so on. That was a very special moment. And over there, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there's this new mitzvah for one time in history to give 1/500 of the Malkoach to HaLatzar HaKohen. We're going to learn out from there that that's the basis of Truma LaHashem, and we have a perfectly normal Truma LaHashem that's given 100 times a moment in Klal Yisrael, which is Truma's Meiser. So obviously that's what we're going to learn out from. Okay, that's fair, but wait a minute. It also says Trumat Hashem by Chala, doesn't it? So why can't we learn out from Chala and say that the amount that you would give to Chala, it says Vayabo Chochem Bilechem, or it's Tarimu Truma LaHashem, right? So then there, it's like 1 out of 24, 1 out of 48, or whatever there would have been midiraisa, which we learn out to the proportion from the 43 and point beitzim and so on. So why do we learn out from there? Because, says the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, you have to look for the complete phraseology, not just Truma LaHashem. You have to learn out Mimenu Truma LaHashem. So the name Dover Shinem Arbo, Mimenu Truma LaHashem, Midover Shinem Arbo, Mimenu Truma LaHashem, which is exactly the Lashon that it says by the Lachmei Teda. It says Mimenu Truma LaHashem, and what it says by also from what we're learning Trumas Mais, which is called Mimenu Truma LaHashem. But it doesn't say by Chala Mimenu Truma LaHashem, it just says Truma LaHashem. So again, if we have a perfect match, then we look for a perfect match. So now we know that if it's one challah that's given to the Kohen, must be 10 challahs that it's taken from, and that gives us what we called a beferish pasuk, so to speak, that the number of challahs is 10, which explains why everybody was made that when it comes to Lachmei Teda, it was 10. Now, my question is, now that you're telling me that we're learning it out from the Lashon of Truma, so let me ask you something, says Rabbi. Do we actually treat Trumas Lachmei Toda the way we would treat Trumas Maaser? Because you're saying we learn out of Trumas Maaser. Somebody who's a czar who eats Trumat Maaser is going to be Chayiv Nisa B'dei Shamayim, and he has to add an additional Chomesh for eating it. Is that true also of the Trumas Lachmei Toda? Or are we only learning the amount from there? Oh, in Chayiv and Aleim Misa, the Chomesh. I mean, what I'm thinking is that on the one hand, given the Iskish and Trumat Maaser, Trumat Maaser Dami, so I'm thinking, I mean, look, if it's compared, so it's compared across the board, even for those various dinim. Or do we say that actually we have a miut to tell me not to apply the dinim of Misa and Chomesh? Why? Because in the halacha of the Shamruat Mishmarti, Velo Yisua Lavchet, the Lashon is where it's talking about preventing a czar from access to Truma. So the Lashon of the Pasuk is Umetu Bo Kiechaluhu. And so what is Bo? Bo means Dafka Truma Mamish, not things that are compared to Truma. So it would be only Truma and Truma's Maaser. But when it comes to the Truma of Lachmei Toda, that's not included the Bo. The same thing is true when it comes to paying the Chonesh. The Lashon in the Pasuk is that the Tzar she'ochal Truma, it says he has to be Mosif Ish Ki'achal Kodesh Bishkaka. That was the reference to Truma. So the din is over there. Ve'yosef Chamishito Alav. Why is Yosef Chamishit? Chamishito means a fifth of this, but only of this, which means not of the Achila of the Lachmei Teda. So what do you think? And I have another question. If we're going to be learning the Lachmei Teda out of the dinim of Trumat Maaser, so then that would mean that if somehow a lechem of the Teda, which was Truma, got mixed up in other lechem, it would be Midamea, and we would be Machmer on it, the same way we learned out by Trumat Maaser, which is 1/100 of the total, so we would be Machmer on it to take 100 to 1 in order to be Mavato it. Is that true? Or is it just a standard Israfila? So is it Midamat or Eina Midamat? We don't have clear-cut proof anywhere to the studim of Rava. So we're left with a teku as to whether there's a chiyav of Misa B'dei Shemayim, a chiyav of Asafas Chomesh, a din of Midamea, when it comes to the Lachmei Teda, since they're being learnt out of Trumat Maaser.